Not See, the hash key's bollocks. Well, I press it, no hash. Lug Radio Season 2, Episode 2.
That was quick, wasn't it?
It was.
God, it's like we're recording it in the same evening.
It's amazing. I have here with me John O'Bacon.
John O... No.
Score.
I hate you. I hate everything you stand for.
Mr. Sparks.
Hello.
And once again, we have with us Aid, standing in for Matt, who's still on honeymoon.
How long has it been now?
Are you guys ever going to let me go?
Please, just let me go.
The best thing about it is normally Matt goes home, police. But because Aid, you know, not a regular part of the thing, we've had him chained up in a box for 2 weeks.
The Lug Radio box.
Okay, yeah, so, episode two. I mean, God, it's like it
time has
Are you
flown.
Going to finish your sentence?
No, I'm just trying to think of something vaguely interesting to say.
Is it? It's odd, isn't it? It's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Bad Crumble.
Except, tragically, it's funny when he does it.
Yeah, so, what should we do? Anything interesting? Should we just sit here and...
Let's do everything we did in episode one in a different order.
That's a fantastic idea.
Maybe we should say it all backwards.
Zipsley, obviously.
You do have some nutters could actually play that backwards.
Yeah, but unfortunately, yeah, mine says
Satan lives. Satan is Lord. No, fucking accordion. We had complaints after the last time. No accordion.
We can't even record one episode.
Oh, take your hand off Jono's organ.
You seized me.
Oh, yes.
I don't like the way you manhandle my organ.
Hello, what are we going to talk about this evening?
We're not sure. Things interesting to do with free and open source software.
We haven't decided yet, to be honest.
Yeah. Well,
why one mouse button is a really bad idea.
Let's not talk about that.
Let's not talk about that.
You just hate Macs.
What do you think Apple 11 and F12 are for?
Hash key.
Not for the right mouse button. That's what they're not.
See, the
for.
Hash key's bollocks. Well, I press it, no hash. I thought it was like one of them nurse buttons that you get on planes and stuff. You know, you press the hash key and a bloke came out and sold you some draw, went away. Yeah. And it just doesn't happen.
You press the nurse
the
button.
The L, S, and D and the M, D, and A keys are really knackered.
I know.
The keyboard.
Is Lug Radio do not promote the use of soft drugs.
Only hard drugs.
Look, say no to drugs. Keep your prices down.
If you're going to use any kind of soft drugs, including marijuana, would you please come and knock on the Lug Radio offices and share it round? Yeah, Big Bifter.
Yeah, bring round a fat smoke to Lug Radio Towers here in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, so...
Should we be Castle Lug Radio?
I saw one of those earlier, a fat smoke.
Fat smoke sitting right opposite me.
Yeah. The ginger one?
Fuck off.
Who would have thought he's...
The Lug Radio Massive. There he is. Just
thank you.
Fill in the corner one of his own.
So what have you guys done in the last 2 weeks?
Sat here. It feels like it does feel like no time at all has passed.
It does.
It does. It's amazing.
It does. It's gone really, really quick.
Should we talk about things that have happened over the last 2 weeks in the news?
I'll be honest with you.
We can take a punt on this. There's obviously Mount Helena. Did that erupt? There's the parade for the Olympians in London. I'm trying to think what else has happened.
Don't
over
say
the
anything
weeks.
To do with Christopher Reeve.
That was 2 weeks
I know what
ago.
You're, I know what you're trying to
look, say. Look, stay in your seat. That was 2 weeks ago.
Jesus.
Yeah, beyond harshness. Lug Radio, beyond harshness.
I tell you what we should do, which we haven't... I mean, we used to do the pimping of the Lug Radio forums. I haven't been on the forums for a while, but we should pimp some of the people that we've met recently. Because I've met some pretty cool people.
I met Schmuck
at the
Schmuck,
show.
Yeah.
Or even...
That would be Jean-Claude.
Yes, yeah. Schmuck is cool.
Schmuck is cool.
Hi, Schmuck. I didn't say it.
You can't say Schmuck, can you?
Schmuck.
Go on, say it. Go on.
Schwuck.
Yay! It is also a stupendous 33% of the Cumbria lug, which is quite superb. I mean, yeah.
We actually know all 100% of the Cumbria lug.
Yeah.
Intimately in Jens. No, sorry.
Lug paintball is something we should talk about.
Lug paintball.
Lug paintball.
Seriously, get involved.
Right, this is the idea, right? We're basically going to organise paintball between different groups.
And we're all going to shoot the fuck out of John Masters.
John Masters would be on everybody's team. So he
on a team of his own.
He would be fair game.
On a team of his own by himself.
Yeah, when we were at the show, Ack, actually, we were talking about this. And John said, whose team shall I be on? And Ack pointed out that he might find he's going to be on a team on his own.
And what game were we going to play, Ack?
I can't remember what it was called.
What was firing squad, wasn't it?
Firing squad.
Firing squad.
Yeah, we're going to play a game called Firing Squad, then play a game called The Running Man, where John Masters runs through the wood naked.
And that's then, your fantasy, though.
Does he have to be naked?
The thing is, as well, is that we were talking about...
A lot more funny. If I can ping off the left bollock, you get an extra 100 bonus points.
We were talking
from
about...
From behind? He's a swinging, like
he's a
pendulum.
Big, big swinger.
The swingers. We were talking about...
The swinging how, 60s.
We knowing Matt, obviously, he's not here. He's still on his honeymoon.
That's a long honeymoon.
He's
man.
A long honeymoon.
He's a long.
He's going to be exhausted.
He's a little man. I mean, he can't go for that long, can he?
How much fluid can a little man produce?
It's 2-pointer, isn't it? Surely over the 5 miles.
Anyway, we were talking about how Matt would be probably getting into the spirit of things and would probably end up going commando. To which Aid predicted that he should really wear underwear. He shouldn't really. Which we found hilarious when Aid said it. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was very comical.
We've got to do Chandler lunges.
Thank you.
Every time anyone says the word commando, I'm feeling the urge now to just lunge.
You haven't done the, what was that?
You lunged
thing?
Earlier. It smelled early. It's awful.
The hacker. Do the hacker thing.
No.
Do it.
Seriously.
No.
It didn't work the first time.
It's quite cool now because you've got Ubuntu. Ubuntu and what? Words that fit
Ubuntu,
in.
Ubuntu, they drink it in the Congo.
No.
Kaora last week, or was that this week? Kiora. In the future.
Just sound like some good, you know, like the bloke in RoboCop when he gets covered in acid. It's just like, Kiora. That would make more sense if you saw the visual. Yeah, anyway.
Or if you'd seen Robo.
Oh, if you were taking acid, you would be seeing visuals.
Kiora.
You drop Kiora or Umbongo on you and you're pretty much fucked anyway. I like Umbongo. Umbongo was nice.
I did drink it in the Congo when I was a child.
The lion picked the passion fruit.
Did
you actually drink it in the Congo?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. I thought maybe you had.
Because it was shit when it was warm, and where the fuck are you going to get a fridge from? Dragging like a generator there just to keep you on bongo cool.
That'd be absolutely superb. Go over to Zaire just to drink some bongo and then come home.
You need like a team of 6 men on it, like a penny a day. You fucking bastard.
While you was out there, you could use
your
open street.
Fucking generator and fridge.
Exactly. Bongo in the Congo.
When it comes to sun and fun and goodness in the jungle, they all prefer the sunny, funny one they call a bongo.
Sun. Sun. Fun.
I'm disturbed
sun,
that you know that.
Fun not happening for me.
I used to love bongo. I haven't drunk it for years. Umbongo and Five Alive, that's all I used to drink. Do you remember Tab Clear as well?
Tab was a good drink.
Tab Clear was cool.
But it was nasty.
Have you seen the Rubicon drinks?
Whatever happened to Urban Cola, by the way?
One.
Just trying to drag us back a little
stuff.
Bit.
And you get quite a good look on Umbongo. Anyone remember Quanta? That would be like...
It's an editor.
Quanta?
Why are you pointing at me in a hack?
Quattro.
Because you're ancient.
Susie Quattro. She was
Quanta's an HTML
editor. Oh, God, yeah, the fonts again.
What was I going to say? Paintball.
Answer. Open Cola. What happened to it?
It's crap. No one bothered.
But the website's gone, hasn't it?
The website went away.
Yeah.
And they were quite clear about the fact that the reason you can't make cola is not because you haven't got the recipe, because you haven't got $100 million processing plant to do it in.
But it was on the back of a fucking wagon with a bloke shaking bottles and farting in them to originally carbonate them. A few fucking leaves in there and shit.
Well, paintball. Right?
Totally.
Let's start this off again. Right, with the idea...
Two years now. Lug Radio took a longer 18 months to get this.
It did,
so
yeah.
This is June.
No,
June.
This is going to happen.
Surgeons.
Well, I actually looked into paintball prices the other day.
Cool.
The idea is that we're going to have groups. Now, this can be like the Debian group, or the Novell group, or the Sousa group, or a Lug, or whatever.
Well, can
we get some Mac users?
Oh, Mac users, let's shoot them. Because they'll run around with their little bloody square orange sunglasses on and their flares. Yeah.
You won't find the Mac users, come on.
They'll stand out like a sore thumb with
their rifles will look great.
They won't actually get into the woods past the fucking mesh bit, you know, where, you know, it's fair game to shoot the fuckers. They won't actually get it that far.
The rifles will look great, but they won't have a trigger.
I was going to say.
There'll be one trigger, but it'll eject the ammo out of the top.
That's fine by me.
But the ammo will be multicoloured.
It will be. Yeah, it'll look very nice when they're being shot.
Oh, so, the guns will look immaculate.
Anyway, the idea, right, is we're going to do this paintball. If you're interested, get in touch with us. Show@lagredo.org.
/get involved.
Or post on the forums.
Probably
better, actually.
Put together a group.
But only do it if you're actually going to do it, because we can't be bothered if you can't be bothered.
How much interest did you get from the Lugmasters list last time this was touted?
Oh, God, you know, that bunch... They really revelled on the idea and had about two responses.
You know, I reckon we could get two teams together easy. So what do you think, about six aside or something?
I reckon about six aside.
How many members have we got on the mailing list?
Oh, God.
Five or something.
So we must be able to get two teams of six.
At least 106 on our list.
Really?
Yeah. And let's not forget we're Lug of the Month.
We are.
We are Lug of the Month!
Lug of the Month.
Lug of the Month.
Lug of the Month.
Lug of the Month.
John Masters made that decision, so we're not going to be shooting him at paintball.
No.
Was it John Masters?
Have we all got our fingers crossed?
Eh?
Was it the Lugster?
The Lugger.
The Lugger.
Lugster, that's like the...
The Lugger who made...
Your mother.
It's fucking serious. Let me try to be a secret, you twat.
What is?
The Lugger.
He's supposed to be... That's supposed to be a secret, that it's him.
That's what he told me.
Oh, well, it isn't now. Oh, we better check this. And if so...
We might want to beep at that
If you heard a beep, then... And a beep over the bit referring to shooting him at paintball.
Just that one really long beep from the start to the end.
In fact, if we beeped it out, then we'll have a little competition. Send in who you think the Lugger is to forums.lugradio.org or to show@lugradio.org, and we'll mention your funniest guesses.
If we didn't beep it out,
don't send us anything in.
Yeah. Don't just send us in like the answer, because we'll know it already. Jesus. You might win something like a trip to Mars or something. All right.
Clip round here.
Clip round here. Well, clip round here. Right, shall we actually do the show and stop rambling on about it?
Yes.
Should we do the show, or should we have done it a fortnight ago?
We should have done the second episode straight after the first episode.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah, but that would mean I would still be here.
I know.
But instead of doing that, let's record it now.
Yeah. Okay. Nice one.
Ubuntu Linux. It's brilliant.
It is.
Agreed.
That's the shortest feature ever. well done, guys. Thanks a lot.
We probably ought to say why it's brilliant for the, you know, one guy who hasn't heard of it yet. You can have loads of red hat holdouts anyway and Susie people. Like,
careful.
For instance, the bald man to my right. who is now going to justify why he's still using Fedora Core 2 instead of Ubuntu.
No, he isn't. I have to say, it is good.
It's phenomenal. I mean, the thing is, there's been lots of Debian derivatives, and they've all been shit apart from Ubuntu. I mean, but then again, the reason why Ubuntu's so great is because all of the right people work for Canonical.
Yep. Exactly, yeah. And I know that you guys say that the installer isn't important, but it fucking is. It's really important.
I think it's important.
And it's a really, really obvious, clean install, asks obvious questions.
Petitioning things is a little difficult.
That's always going to be difficult, though, isn't it? I mean, you're never going to make that easy.
Of course you can make it easy.
It's getting better.
Well, the partitioner should say, do you want the whole disk, which Ubuntu does, and if it doesn't find anything on the disk, it should default to that automatically and not ask you.
Well,
a Windows installation, it should say, you have a Windows installation on here, do you want to make space for Ubuntu? And then you say yes, and it does it.
Well, I was impressed with
it doesn't mention fucking cylinders. It doesn't tell you about disk sizes. None of that. It just says, you've got one disk, it's already got an operating system, do you want to split it? Or it says, you've got two disks, which one of them do you want it on?
I think the thing is, though,
Just don't mention any numbers or anything like that.
Yeah, completely. I think the thing is, though, is that partitioning as a subject is never going to be easy.
Exactly.
So you've essentially got to give people a sensible default, which Ubuntu
and there are nice big warning messages saying, are you really sure that
Ubuntu doesn't give you a sensible default. It gives you the do you want the whole disk default, which is nice. But if you do anything else...
I think it did, because in my machine, I've got three hard disks, so they're on multiple operating systems, and it actually said, I'm just going to blow away the first disk. Is that okay? And that is exactly what I wanted to do.
But I don't believe you can necessarily make partitioning an easy process.
You can't.
Because it's such a complex subject.
If someone actually wants to repartition their disks, you can't make it easy.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
90%, I mean, I'm pulling a figure out of my arse here in case you couldn't tell.
Oh, nice.
Of people are going to want one of four or five standard configurations.
Your margin of error of
Yeah, you know, they're going to want the whole of disc one, or they're going to want the whole of disc two, if there is a disc two, or they're going to want to take whatever's on disc one, they're going to want to split the disc in half, or they're going to want it towards the end or whatever. So you say, here are like five different things we could do. Or if you're hardcore and want to do it yourself, go for it. But anyone who is capable of thinking, I would like to partition my disc in these three different ways, is going to understand the partitioner.
Yeah. Do any installers actually give you the chance to like resize a partition?
Yes.
Like Partition Magic does.
One does for a start. As seriously. Does, as does Desktop LX. Wow, like Chorus, which has done for about 18 months.
That's
now.
Pretty impressive.
Like Chorus might eat the dick.
Or something commercial.
The thing is,
what's it called?
They've got a custom thing, I think.
It was.
It's their own partitioner. It didn't just fire up Qt Parted or whatever it's called.
I think the thing is...
GNU Parted, I think it's called.
What?
It's called GNU Parted.
Qt Parted
is the GUI one.
Yeah, but I mean, you haven't got a GUI at this point.
Yeah, you have.
Far from on Mandrake.
You haven't on Ubuntu, but you have on most installations, I would say now.
Yeah. Why they have to reboot a dozen times when you're installing the buggers?
Well,
you stick a disk in, and then it reboots and loads into the actual...
Hori, the next Ubuntu release, is going to have a graphical installer.
They estimate.
Yeah.
Jeff Waugh sort of. They're saying, yeah, we'll have a graphical installer, and then Jeff Waugh quietly put on the wiki that... no, it was Shuttleworth, wasn't it? Shuttleworth went and said, I wouldn't go promising people this at the moment.
Yeah, and Colin Watson's going, how in Christ's name do we get all of GTK into a fucking U, Dave? Yeah, it's really difficult.
I think it's him doing the work as well.
It is. I'll install this. Poor bastard.
I think the thing, an interesting point we made earlier on was the fact that essentially you can't make a complex subject easy, and people who aren't going to understand a particular subject, for example... Most people will probably be, like, I agree with that, most people will be happy with pretty much the defaults that you get with the installer, like if you're blown away an entire disk. And the other, probably the other main thing is that, you know, you're going to have Windows on there or something else. But this was in, when I was reading Spolsky's book, and he said, you know, one of the problems with the start menu in Windows is that a lot of people didn't understand that you're supposed to click on there when you boot the machine. So Microsoft stuck a little label above it saying, click the start menu to get started. And the point Spolsky made was that if they're too stupid to not understand about clicking on the start button, they're hardly going to understand what's going to happen when they've clicked on it. And that's the same applies to partitioning as well.
Don't get me started on stupid users. I mean, really don't.
Basically, I agree. You can't make a complicated subject like partitioning simple. What you can do is essentially avoid the subject entirely.
Yeah.
If you want, you can't actually help someone partition their disk in a way that they choose easily.
And you're always going to get someone who's blown away their Windows operating system by mistake and is pissed about it.
Yep.
Usually those people aren't clever enough to find the mailing list, so
you
can't actually get to it.
Totally agree with you.
I know this is really crap for a radio show, but I got this dialogue box up today, which I'll stick on the forums. Look at this. Add tray icon failed. Sorry, we're hosed now.
Is that a real one?
That's a real one. Useful. I got that up today. Isn't that good?
I used to have a big collection of these I used to use when I was teaching.
There's a thing called the Interface Hall of Shame.
Yeah, that's it.
Which is just... superb on things like this.
M101, you are fucked.
People with tabs inside tabs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk more about Ubuntu. I mean, anything else that's good about it? Anything else that's interesting, do you think?
Bang on up to date.
That's the thing that I liked about it.
It was 6 monthly releases.
Sorry. It was Debian, and it had all the latest packages, which is something...
It's basically a configured Debian box, isn't it?
Yeah, and it works out the box. You've got everything that you need there straight away.
It pains me to admit this, but Jono has been saying for about the last 3 years, what people need is to base distributions on Debian, to use it as a source to provide packages to a more configured, more vertical market distribution. And that's exactly what Ubuntu is.
A vertical market? A
vertical market.
You want to explain that one to a poor man like myself?
It's a... crappy fucking Dilbert
term. This is where we need Matt.
We do need Matt, because Matt lives and breathes this kind of thing. Vertical
in the wonderful, exciting world of web copy.
If you sold Windows, that wouldn't be a vertical market, but if you sold Windows just to high-rise flats... If you just sold Windows to shops rather than all sorts of glass-based products...
Oh, for God's sake.
Shut up.
Can't we get off vertical markets?
Yeah.
I'm still fucking confused.
Right. So the idea behind a vertical market is you're building applications on top of others to provide a custom thing.
Ah, okay.
You're narrowing your market, but you're making it more applicable to that market.
Got you.
You know, so Ubuntu is, I mean, they knock on that it's all right for servers, but it's basically a desktop distribution.
Yeah.
And,
but they do say that it's a desktop distribution.
Yeah, I mean they're making it less applicable to being a server, and therefore cutting out the whole server market in order to concentrate more fully on the desktop market.
I've got to admit, I was surprised they didn't put SSH in. That did surprise me.
It is on the disk, you've just got to install it.
Yeah, but it's not installed by default. That surprised me.
Nothing listens by default, no ports are open.
That's really good for security, I think. I mean, they could install SSH by default and then block the port, but what the hell's the point? If you've got to do something,
or install it and
you
have the service not running, maybe.
It's another example of if you're going to use SSH, then install it. You'll know what you're going
to
install.
You're clever enough to install
it. It is a good
SSH.
Point.
Whereas most, for the regular...
clever enough to know it's not there.
My dad was going to use it. He probably wouldn't use SSH. So, you know, he's too busy ringing me up on the phone. You know?
Yeah.
But I think the most heartening thing I saw with Ubuntu was the fact that they said that there's only going to be one version. There's not going to be a free and a commercial version.
It's never going to be charged.
It's just going to be free software.
Nice and clear.
And Shuttleworth is the dude, isn't he? I mean, he really is.
He is the dude. I mean, on...
And one more point.
On the other hand, to be honest with you, if I had £300 million, right, I'd go, I'll tell you what, let's devote £3 million to open source software. And everyone would go...
You might keep one.
And everyone would go, fuck me, he's revolutionised the face thing. You just go, whatever, it's like 1% of my fortune. I get that in interest every year.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he could put it in the post office and get 5% interest, which means that he's not even spending the interest on it. But on the other hand, he is the dude. He's been into space. How fucking cool is that?
It's like you said, Ag, as well. He maintained Apache, didn't he?
He maintained Apache for Debian.
He's got the hacker credentials.
Yeah, it's not as if a bloke just swanned in with his suit and went, I've got loads of money here. Real people do some things.
But what's going to be interesting...
swanned him with his shorts and his boots. And
when I've been in
hat.
Space. And went, fucking hell, please give me...
That'll be why you're still wearing that space suit then.
What's going to be interesting, though, is what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, we're in the honeymoon period at the moment. It's really great, and Ubuntu's great, and all these hackers are working on it, and everything's fine and dandy. At some point, it's naturally going to want to make some money, and it's going to be interesting. They have stated that they never
want to actually charge for the distribution itself.
But they're going to charge services and all the stuff around
Yeah,
it.
Sure.
So it'd be interesting. What I think, obviously, he's doing it the right way. He's making a high quality product that people are going to use for free anyway, because it's in our nature to use something for free. And then, obviously, to get that commercially viable for enterprises, then he needs to provide all of the bullshit around it.
It's currently not aimed at the enterprise desktop, otherwise, it would probably have SSH in. And things for remote administration.
You're right. Sooner or later, he will be charging for services. He's got to.
I mean,
and fair play.
He's a savvy business.
Nothing wrong with that.
But the thing is, he's doing it right because, I mean, the reason why Debian's hung on for so long is because it's had a previous kind of reputation as being a high quality distribution, and nothing will ever kill it because it's got the reputation. And people stick with what they know. I mean, as a journalist, I review all kinds of distributions. Some good, most crap, to be honest, and none of them apart from Ubuntu have stood up to Debian. And when I installed Ubuntu on my PowerBook for the first time,
well, Ubuntu is Debian,
yeah, but obviously it's Debian with bells on.
It's running GNOME by default.
Exactly.
So love the GNOME.
We love GNOME.
Fuck
a bunch of KDE.
Yes.
A little sheepish over there, Jono.
It's still jono@kde.org.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give that back, really.
I'll tell you what.
There's so many other Jonos who work for the KDE project.
We should just abandon KDE entirely, move it all to GNOME. Do believe it was said first on this program, so remember where you heard it first. When KDE fucking goes down the bog or becomes something new and everyone moves to GNOME,
or gets fucked.
You'll know why.
Why do you say that,
Ak? You know, I can see it happening.
you heard it here first.
Incidentally, developers get older and longer bearded.
Incidentally, Axe got like loads of dynamite strapped around him in his plan to go around some developers' houses.
That's it. I'm all about the fucking KDE terrorism.
He's going to seize a German school and take all their children hostage.
KDE Bart Meinhof.
Anyway, was it?
Can we stay away from the terrorist gags, please?
When do we get on to Superman?
No, Chris.
Leave it.
Anyway, Ubuntu, it's brilliant.
Yeah, Ubuntu.
Coming full circle, we all love it. You will too.
Yes, use it. It's great.
Fucking government, then.
Yeah.
Fucking government.
Fucking government.
Bastards.
All right.
I'd start that again.
Could you push the anarchist out of the way? Jesus Christ, he's bald and he knows he is.
Give the anarchist a cigarette.
Okay.
John, to be a fine thing.
Right. Tease fish.
Oh, God, I need that.
That's got to be told on air, man.
Incident, yeah, no. Go on, tell it. Go on.
I'm not telling the fucking proper tea joke. Get on with it.
Right, okay. Right, we're going to talk now about government use of open source, because it seems recently a number of governments from around the world are considering open source software and considering it to be good. We've heard the very well-publicised exploits of Munich. It's on. Yep. It's off now. It's on. It's off now. No, it's really on now. And it is finally on now. So
that's flowered up.
What was?
It's on.
As in purple flower thrown through the House of Commons.
It's on, it's on, it's off. Flowered up.
What the fuck
am
is
I? Oh, the only one hallucinating on here.
Okay, carry on.
Okay, everyone just ignore Sparks.
What just happened then?
There's going to be one guy sitting in Arizona somewhere listening to this in about 6 months going, yeah, flowered up.
I think he'll be from Manchester, really.
Oh, right, okay.
Flowered up, Mike.
Cockies, weren't they?
Eh? Oh,
what does flowered up mean?
I've got a clue. I don't know.
I was banned about 15 years ago who thought they were like the Happy Mondays.
And the spin-off, okay. The spin-off band, the Shit Tuesdays.
So it's kind of like being sexed up.
Eh?
Is it like being sexed up?
The Sundays are better.
What's the Sundays?
No, they're bollocks.
Band called the Sundays.
Really? I don't know. I only listen to Christian gospel music. So, can we move on, please? Anyway, I think, well, there was obviously the thing in Peru with the Peruvian Eduardo
Villanueva, which didn't happen.
Which, didn't it happen?
No.
Oh, I remember reading it didn't
happen. Didn't somebody with a bigger tank take charge or something?
Well, there was...
It all kind of... he was going to do it. Edgar Villanueva del Campo della something like that.
Yeah, del Campo. That's a coffee, isn't
he
it?
He had a fucking quality name. Oh. Villanueva del Monte or
did
something.
Did he live on a hill?
Did he say
live
yes on a hill? A lot?
What?
Did he live on a hill?
I like the open sauce.
That's how he speaks. Yeah. I have it on record.
That's I like the open sauce.
The fucking Speedy Gonzales.
I've got a kilogram of daddy's sauce for free from Macro. quality.
But yeah, he did the, you know, the letter to Microsoft and everything, and it was all going really well. And then it all just kind of died in committee about 9 months later. Because I didn't know. About 6 months ago, I thought, I wonder what happened to that. Did it actually work? And I went and looked up, but it was really difficult to find anything about it. But it seems like it all just died in committee and never went anywhere.
He did a talk, didn't he, at Guardec? Was it Guardec?
Which Guardec?
The
Guardec that just happened.
No, yeah. Is this Guardec? That's bird shit, surely?
That's what I was thinking.
What?
Guano.
Okay.
Isn't that Gnome like User Something Developers Something Conference?
But it's spelt with a V, isn't it? It's like Vadec. On some of the things. Sometimes it says Guardec, and sometimes it says Vladek.
I thought
Vladek.
It was Gnome User. Gnome User and Developer.
Is that in Rome?
Excellent.
Yeah, they do that a lot in Rome.
Gnome User and Donkey User.
That's because have you ever tried chiseling out a U? No wonder they had two different versions of
where,
me.
Where is the G they've done? Was obviously a piece of piss.
She's
there's
a
no illiteracy anyway.
Chiseling out a U. Jesus Christ.
No euphemism.
I'm not going to get some kind of animal-related charity to come down and get rid of... Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Fucking all creatures great and small,
it's
but hardcore.
They
all
look
the same when Sparks
is
finished. Oh, for God's sake. Yes, you're right, Sparks.
Anyway.
Shrewd move.
Edgar Villanueva.
Shrewd move.
The Pot Noodle, whatever his name was.
Edgar Villanueva the Pot Noodle.
Every time you say his name, I see a bottle of tequila in on the yellow one.
Yep.
Yeah. Jose
Cuervo.
There you go, that was the bloke's name.
He was Mexican.
Was he?
Jose Cuervo. Yeah, tequila's Mexican.
Yeah.
Not from Peru. From Peru you get Incas and Edgar Villanueva de Pot Noodle.
So what's come out of Peru? No offence to any Peruvians, obviously.
The Incas.
What have the Peruvians ever done?
The Incas. Okay, a civilization that died out many moons ago. And we've got Paddington Bear.
From darkest Peru, yes.
And This Jose, not the tequila man.
Edgar Villanueva de la Campos de Pot Noodle, or whatever his name was.
So a marmalade sandwich is a Peruvian delicacy.
Is it really?
Well, Paddington Bear was into him, wasn't he?
A Bjorn Levent Pavedo, surely.
To be honest, he was into wellies as well.
I don't want to disappoint you on this, but South America, not noticeably a Jewish area.
Well, no, Bjorn Levent bread all over the world until, you know, you discover the...
Yeah, but nobody fucking likes it. The only reason people eat it is because they have to.
You wrap a kebab in it.
Eating what? Hang on.
When do I wrap a kebab?
Unleavened bread.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, pretty much all flatbreads are unleavened bread, surely.
Naan isn't.
Speaking of food.
Naan just drips down the side of the bloody thing. It doesn't get time to do any rising. Just down the side of the tandoor.
I'd like to make a point. For any listeners, which we hope there are some.
not now. Oh, they were at the beginning of this.
If you were until I slagged off a quite sizeable country.
It's not quite a sizeable country
that's just like... fucking jungle as far as I'm concerned. Not a lot to come out of there.
And marmalade sandwiches.
Is that what you gave him then? Wrapped up in drum and bass, I think. Wrapped up in a piece of newspaper. So he's got a Peruvian newspaper on Paddington Station.
A groovy Peruvian newspaper.
It was groovy. I mean, he got Fizzy's coat.
And another thing, why is orange jam called marmalade in the first place? I feel we might have gone off the subject a little bit.
In Northern Europe, there was, in many parts of Northern Europe, there wasn't a word for the colour orange until the fruit arrived, which is what it's orange pretty much all over Northern Europe.
Why not call it orange jam?
You know,
what, orange jelly?
We should have been talking about open sourcing government, really. And we're talking about orange jam and Paddington Bear. Before we go back to the subject,
I want to talk about strawberry jam and fucking lime marmalade.
I'd just like to,
Rose's lime marmalade.
If any of our listeners are out with
a pot of marmalade.
Jesus Christ.
We're catching wasps.
Send them over, actually.
Final feed.
You know when people say, don't talk together?
And they all say, fuck off, John. Is this the point where we say, fuck off, John?
Yeah, it is. It's a serious announcement. I experienced
marmalade.
I experienced something horrific the other day when I was down in London with the at the expo. We were out with our friends.
Somebody butted your toast and then put marmalade.
Shut up about marmalade. Aid was there. And
I was
there.
Indeed there. Yeah.
And Angry Matt wasn't. Matt wasn't there.
Oops.
And
who's that? Wasn't there?
Matthew Revelle. Mr. Angry Matthew Revelle. Anyway, we were there, and someone suggested, I don't know who it was, but I'm going to shoot them in the head when I find out who it was, that we go to a Persian restaurant.
It was Alistair Kurgan.
Right, Alistair Kurgan. I think you're a cool bloke. He's a good friend of mine, but he needs shooting in the head.
He's a shoo-in.
Because Persian food is nondescript meat and rice. And it's awful.
And if you're a vegetarian, it's not even the meat.
Yeah, it's nondescript vegetables.
Truffles. Just to be warned, people, none of us had ever eaten Persian food before. Probably none of us
nor
will
ever
again
will again.
Either. So, next time at the Linux Expo, it's the Persian restaurant next door to the Hand and Flower. Perhaps every other Persian restaurant is brilliant.
Yes, every other Persian. I'd like to go to another Persian restaurant. And
just like burnt barbecued food.
No, it's pond scrape.
No. It was like kind of lard rice.
Oh, right. Oh, I'm thinking of turkey food.
It was special lard rice.
Yeah, the rice came in two colours.
Did they eat lots of tomatoes?
There wasn't a tomato in sight when we were there. I'm telling you.
The tomatoes had enough, they'd all fucked right off, hadn't they? They're just a poor, like, well, bizarre kind of skewered chicken thing.
You never see any raki dish that isn't full of tomatoes. And I thought that, you know...
What do you get against tomatoes?
Maybe
they've got them all and that's what all the trouble's about. All this time we were thinking it was rivalry and stuff.
Again, we might have drifted a little bit off the topic.
I need some tomatoes to go to mushy rice, sure.
No, but we're coming back round to the topic of government and government interacting. Yeah, open source.
My hand is hovering over the key that stops this recording.
The power
I
of
think
John.
We should cut some of that.
Hello, this is the Stormont American Army.
So, a lot of people are talking about building myth TVs.
don't believe it.
I've got. It is just
mythical
a myth.
TV.
No, no, no.
I don't believe they exist. I've seen no proof.
Well, I personally have never heard of them.
TVs. That's because they're a mystery. Written in lisp.
Hey, let's just take the piss out of people with lisp.
Yeah, lisp, a language for processing lisp. I read that somewhere in someone's signature. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Sorry, anyway, we were talking about free will or something.
No, let's just keep taking the piss out of people with this. Because to be honest, I mean...
Well,
just,
people who use lisp.
Just fucking speak properly. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Sort your mouth out.
Sort your mouth out.
I tried to learn lisp, and my thingy, my number 9 and 0 buttons broke on my keyboard.
Too many brackets.
I've never had a desire to learn lisp.
Parentheses.
This is... Anything out of people with lisps, like, talk to people across the phone. Oh, I found
open parenthesis.
I found a bug in your program. It was open parenthesis.
Zero. Like my, you sound like my nan when she's not got her teeth in.
No, really? Come and give your nan a hug.
When your nan's not got her teeth in, he says, come and get, you know.
No,
back off, back off. I've seen that website.
Come on, nan, get your gums around me plums.
I've seen that website. I stayed there for about half an hour. This Maggie shoot was as bad as I thought.
Oh, she's a bit of a goer, is my nan.
Some sticky stuff oozed all over my keyboard. I don't know where that came from.
I know exactly. Anyway, hey, do you want to talk about Myth TV?
Myth TV, what is it? I mean, everybody's going on about it.
Well, you should really research this if you want to talk about it.
I don't really want to talk about it. I can give a shit.
It's a personal video thing.
So why don't you just buy a Skybox?
Because it's better.
Why? Is it more expensive?
Well, I think it's more interesting, personally.
Oh, okay.
It's the problem. I'll tell you the problem with this, right? Because I've been looking into Myth TV. Right, Sky Plus, you've got to pay £10 a month to record anything you want. Benefit of Sky Plus is that you can record more than one channel at the same time, which you can't do with Myth TV unless you've got two Skyboxes and two video encoders.
You've got to watch one of those channels because only two tuners in it.
Right, okay. But you could
record...
Someone did inform me that...
Yeah, you can record two channels and watch, but you can't record two channels and watch a third.
Right,
yes. Unless the third one you watch is just an ordinary TV channel.
But with Myth TV, you've got to record the channel that the box is set to, unless you want to, like, do some proper hardware hacking.
Does the Sky Plus box
thing... good at.
Does that actually cut the adverts out? Because that's possible as well, isn't it?
With the Sky Plus thing, apparently it does, and with Myth TV, I think it does as well. Or there's something in there to cut adverts out. I'm not sure whether you've got to do it afterwards.
To be honest with you, you don't really need an advert cut or outer thing. All you need is a button which skips on 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That when you
is it always
it back,
30 seconds
it.
In?
Well, no. But, yeah, I mean, you go 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, and it ends.
There is something in Myth TV where you can basically mark an in-point and an out-point for, like, a chunk so you can get rid of it.
Oh, yeah, but it's
as you said.
But they don't pick them up automatically.
They've got their own little boxes, haven't they? You know, the little box with just lines on?
Yeah.
Just look for that in that part of the screen.
With Sky TV, though, I mean...
It's not reliable enough to look for that.
It's not on every show, is it?
No, it's not always there. And sometimes you get that, and it means we're changing the reel in the middle of a film. You don't want it then to cut out, you know, the middle of your film.
That's what they're docked in the middle of the screen.
Doesn't the Sky Plus thing as well, if the program's been, like, put back 30 minutes, it still records the exact program, whereas the Myth TV won't.
No. Yeah, with Myth TV... Although, I don't know, because Myth TV uses...
So it's basically shit.
Myth TV uses something called XML TV to get its listings.
It's XML.
XML TV to get its listings.
No, it's XML.
XML TV.
Well, it used to smell and doesn't smell.
Yeah,
right.
It's a special TV that smells of eggs. Anyway, yeah, apparently it gets it from XML TV, which I think gets it... It must connect with a website to get
it
listed somewhere.
Gets it...
No, it's all legit. It's all straight up. The XML TV stuff for the UK comes from the Radio Times website.
Yeah.
Apparently. The point about the Sky one is that if they move a programme back, they're going to know before anybody else. So they change... What's it called? The on the guide thing?
I don't know.
There's a special little set of initials for it. Or whatever it is, anyway. The guide. Sky change it immediately. So the Sky box knows about it. But there's nothing magic about it. It just relies on the guide. The fact is the guide's always up to date.
But to be honest...
Whereas it's not going to get... You know, if they push a programme back 15 minutes because Wimbledon overruns, it's not going to get... To the Radio Times website, get fetched by your XML
Sky
TV
guy's
thing.
Frequently
I was
going
to say,
Wimbledon.
I mean, I'm totally with you in that it's the cool to build it. I mean, I'm totally with you on that one.
In my experience, the Sky Guide has very, very rarely updated when there's been a change in the shows.
Exactly.
And so therefore, to me, it's not as much of an issue. I think the main thing about Myth TV is the fact that you can kind of hook lots of extra plugins and stuff in there. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't use a lot of them because I just want it to record TV and I want to be able to play DVDs. in one box as well.
Cause not interested in having it fetch the weather and read RSS feeds. Yeah. What the fuck's that all about? I mean, you must have a computer. Anyone even remotely contemplating building one of these things already has a computer.
Yeah.
Bloody ridiculous.
It's not cheaper, is it?
It's bloody expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to cost you a minimum of £300 for a performant enough machine to do it.
Thing is, though...
Which is 30 months of renting a Sky Plus box.
Yeah.
That's 5 years, by which time, you know, we'll all be watching TV through plugs in our heads or something anyway.
Thing is, I mean, I was thinking about this and...
Bring that on.
In this way, yeah, I agree with you. It's not cost-effective because it's just kind of like the fun of actually hacking it all together, really, I suppose, is one aspect. And I suppose the other thing is that if ultimately you don't end up using it that much or you don't see the point in it, or you haven't got enough money to keep your Skype, you've still got a PC at the end of the day.
And then you turn into a four-player gauntlet machine.
Yeah, which hasn't happened.
Which has not happened.
I haven't got the space.
We perpetuate into a second season.
I haven't got the space, but I've got the space to, like, get all this hardware hacking kind of gear into my room.
I'm building
hack at ZX81s.
I'm building a machine that's about, like, 4 inches square. That's not a four-player gauntlet
machine.
Just
make a mini four-player gauntlet
machine. It could be a four-player gauntlet machine. You need a great big fucking rack of buttons plugged in.
Yeah.
A really long cable, because you can put the buttons in our houses. I'll tell you what, this is clever, right?
Do it over the internet.
Instead of having the long cable, that was my initial idea. We could do it over the interweb.
Can you do that sort of thing over the interweb?
I've heard that you can do some things such as that. I've also heard a rumour that there's pornography on the internet as well.
No.
Amazing.
Don't believe it.
The other cool thing about it that I think is that you record a film and then you get to punch it out on a video CD. Or on Super Video CD, or on DVD if you've got a DVD burner in the machine or whatever, which I think is dead.
You're going to build a Myth TV box and then you're just not going to bother spending the extra 70 or 80 quid it costs to get a DVD burner this time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to... My plan is to buy, like... I was originally going to buy one of these little mini ITX machines, but I was thinking about it, and Sparks posted something to the Wolves Lug list that kind of pretty much sealed my decision. I'm just going to get a normal PC.
And stuff it around the back of your
television.
Stuck
it around the back. And because there's that little red remote thing that will change the channels.
Yeah.
And then it'll be even better. Although the only problem with that is that if I've got a drive in it, then...
So really...
That's the problem. I mean, the reason the mini ITX stuff is called is because it looks like a piece of stereo equipment or whatever. You can stick it there on top of your Skybox or on top of your video or whatever. And it looks cool. It looks like a DVD player, except it does all this cool stuff.
But the problem is, right, is you get... I mean, our DVD player is quite a wide unit. And it's... Yeah, it's quite shallow. Why on earth can't they make, like, for a normal motherboard, and make just a wider version? Because it would still look like a piece of kit that you'd have in your room.
You need all special cards to plug in.
Yeah, you've got to get them anyway. For mini ITX, you've got to get half-height cards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to get half-height cards anyway, they just need a small box for a normal motherboard.
You can.
That's all I need.
You can.
Oh, Jesus.
I swear.
Keeps me happy.
Don't say it. Don't say it at all. Leave it up to our listeners' imaginations. T-shirt hell.
So, essentially, it's like building your own car. It's cool. It's fun to do. It's not going to be any cheaper or easier.
It makes no sense whatsoever, but it's interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
But you run the risk that a wheel might fall off it when you're around the corner. But you've got all the satisfaction every day that doesn't happen, that you've done the right thing.
Yeah.
You get to do extra stuff.
Yeah.
Which is the cool thing. I mean, you could have it, you know, recorded for when then... burn something.
Ah, I thought of a reason. One of the main reasons... just burn the house down with it. One of the main reasons that we were considering it... I was talking to it with Susan, because she's well up for the idea of it, but she wants me to build
Susan's
it.
Susan's well up for it.
She always is, to be honest.
Absolutely. As the whole Lug Radio thing can justify.
At the same time. I didn't mean that, Susan.
Fucking on the sofa tonight for you.
No, one of the benefits...
Monday night.
One of the benefits of it is that... you can access it via the web. So if I'm in Bedford, let's say, and of all places, and I want to record something, let's say, you know, I want to record something specifically and wherever I am doesn't have satellite TV and I can't watch it there, then you can log into your machine.
So you're going to leave this port open on facing the internet?
Well, you could just tunnel
over a search.
Ah, okay.
You know, same way that you tunnel your own webmail and stuff like that.
So, yeah, I mean,
that'd be fine.
That seems like a good feature for me, because it's got a web in.
Absolutely, yeah. Because if you go away and you've forgotten to record it.
Exactly. And the fact that you can schedule things to be... Like, for example, I love the West Wing. I'd like to record every West Wing. And as long as I'm on at the same time...
The same time. Just tell it record everything with the West Wing in the title.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a lot easier.
So if there's a documentary about it, waha, you get the documentary.
It was TiVo who first came up with that idea.
Mm.
You can tell it record everything with Jack Nicholson in.
There was also the problem of the things like, oh, you might like this. And then, like, your 16-year-old kid sneaks down at 11:30 at night to watch the 2 minutes free view on one of the porn channels. And then it kind of records the dodgy Channel 5 movie and says, you might like this. And the mum's thinking, why would I like this?
Why would I like the Red Shoe Diaries?
I was going to say, the Red Shoe Diaries. Why would I care about David the Cop and his bare chest? Not at all interesting.
It's not that hairy.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen a predictive thing in either Myth TV or Freevo.
Yeah.
The idea that it'll go, you watch this stuff, so you might like this.
So how long has this Myth TV thing been around then? Is it fairly recent?
Good few years.
Good few years. I mean, yeah? Myth TV is newer than Freevo.
It's at the massive version number of 0.16 at the moment.
Alpha.
Freevo was the first Linux one. PVR, they call it, personal video recorder.
Yeah.
That was a little dog, wasn't it? Oh, that was Ibo, wasn't it?
Yeah. Shit, you think. I was wondering when some kind of Ibo gag was going to come forward.
Did Ibo gag? Is that why you got rid of him? Did you get in that little memory
slot? Small box.
Did actually take the battery out.
memory stick in the back.
Oi, triple A. Quite a big battery as well, I'll have you know.
There's a triple A.
Memory stick. Fucking SD media card.
Right. Well, I think we've exhausted what we want to talk about with Myth TV.
Exhausted that Ibo.
He did, yeah. He's going, wham. You walk in, you go, wham. What the fuck have you done to that, Johnno?
Wasn't walking for long.
He'd say, heel, and it would bend over.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that, shall we?
Yes. Okay, in recent times, I mean, I went out and bought a GPS unit to play with, and I saw a project called OpenStreetMap.
I've got one of them, A to Z, open it.
Open it,
closes.
Cunning.
As opposed to just StreetMap, .co.uk.
Closed StreetMap. Bolted down StreetMap. I'll provide an introduction for those who aren't familiar with the project. Basically, the idea is if you want to use a GPS unit for any kind of satellite navigation, so when you're driving along the road and it says, at the end of the road, turn left, in some kind of bizarre Stephen Hawking kind of accent. The problem with it is that there's no free map data. There's no free map
not
data.
Not in the UK, anyway.
In Europe. There's no free map data anyway, and there's no free vector map data, which can enable you to do the sat-nav kind of thing. There's lots of software that can use free map data, but there isn't any free map data. So these guys decided to set up OpenStreetMap, which is basically where some people will wander around with a GPS unit on a bike or driving around in a car, and it will track a trace of where the roads and paths and everything are. And then using some form of wiki or some form of Java applet or something, people can log onto the website and basically fill in the map.
I'll tell you what, right? Wikis are to 2004 what open source was to 1999. You say, I've got a project, no one wants to do it. I'll make it open source, then I'll get loads of guys. Now it's like, I've got a project no one wants to do it. I'll put a fucking wiki on it.
Yeah, this is a good point. I mean, I think this is interesting in a few reasons, right? Sparks is on the mailing list. Sparks joined the mailing list before I did, and Sparks has had some interesting interactions with the gents on the list. Interesting in two ways. First of all, whether it can actually work, which I'm kind of and an R in as to whether it can actually.
So how big is it at the moment? I mean, is it?
It's
minutely detailed within 100 yards of the guy's house.
You know where the bloke lives in Cambridge because that's right. The bit that's still on the street.
So you'd think populated areas would be like pretty much done.
It's
by now.
This project has not released any files. Project.
It sounds a lot fucking like it. To be honest with you.
It's tiny. I mean, they've just started kicking it off. I mean, the one guy I think Steve C. I don't know what his surname is.
We can guess.
Spark steady.
He sends a cool message every morning.
But there's that other guy, Petter Winkle something.
the Fonz, isn't he?
But there's the base. I mean, they haven't really done a lot. I find it interesting purely in whether people can actually collaborate to create a map. That's one thing I find interesting. Second thing is it would be useful. But then again, we were talking about this on the way back from the expo, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we were sort of saying, it can only really achieve success if everybody in the UK goes out their house and writes their street down. And that ain't going to happen. So there's going to be large portions of the UK where it's either too dangerous to go down and you're going to get shot in the head. They're not going to be...
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Here be dragons on the map.
That's basically what it would be like. I mean, the way they got from here be dragons maps to actual proper maps was a guy went, okay, I'm going to go and explore. And he'd go out and explore, and sometimes he wouldn't come back. Yeah, and then a second guy
so
would
So the
go.
Next release of the map was here be dragons, definitely.
Yeah, or possibly there be dragons, you know, because he'd mapped a bit and then come back and then gone out again and then died.
What about open dragon map? We haven't got any kind of open method of seeing where there are dragons. There might be dragons in Liverpool, we don't know. I've been to Liverpool. I've seen a few of them wandering around with all the gold jewellery on.
No, I've been to Liverpool and probably are dragons.
You know I love you!
Fucking chav scum. But, yeah, I mean, I'd really, really like sat-nav in my car, and I'd really, really not like to pay £400 for it. So
this was my point exactly.
What I mean, I've already got Ron from the Lug went out and bought this thing where you got a little noddy pocket PC. It's perfectly reasonable pocket PC, but it's if you're going out to buy a PDA, you probably would buy a couple of models above this. But it plugs into his car. There's the GPS with it. It's got all the map data on it, and it can give you the at the end of this street, turn left shit.
And it's fun to confuse as well.
Yeah. What I like about Jono's GPS unit is it actually mounts externally, because I know my boss tried this GPS stuff, and he's got like a fairly expensive car, obviously. And the screen's like coated.
Yeah.
And if you mount this thing in under the screen where most of them mount, it just wasn't getting anything.
Yeah.
Unless he sort of drove around with it hanging out of his window. Yeah. So I like the externally mountable thing of the GPS
It's
unit.
Pretty cool.
7 Series BMW's got like a little fin, and that's the GPS, isn't it?
Really? Is that what that fin is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have thought so. It's a GPS and the other aerials and stuff, isn't it?
That's only one on a side note. This this track
if you're paid pony up $65,000 on 7 Series BMW, you'd expect the fin.
I mean, on a little side note, this,
you're going to sell that many drugs and afford a car like
that. I expect gold smegging wheels on it for £65,000.
This, with those little spinning, with the things spinning the other way.
They're bollocks.
They really are.
But BMWs are bollocks, for God's sake. Buy a decent car.
M5's, M5's a nice fucking
I like the M5 as well. In blue with the pale...
Open street map, anyway.
If I had an M5, like, I'd give a shit about what colour it was.
Shittest car, shittest make of car in the world. All tossers drive this make of car.
Porsche.
Lexus.
No.
Yes.
I mean, load of cool.
I drive a Lexus, you know. I don't care. I drive a fucking Micra. Yeah.
A load of, you know, old people drive Lexi.
No, it's the plural. Lexi.
It's like the plural of penis. I'm sure it's peni.
You've got to find out, though.
How do you know, young man?
It's so, man. You don't want to know why it isn't, but it isn't.
It's Greek and Latin, and can you explain that to us now?
Yeah, and not, you know, I think people would be bored if I started using the phrases like a second declension noun. So, okay. We'll skip over that.
Yeah,
no, so you're telling me that the plural of penis isn't penile.
It's penises.
People didn't understand any of the last 10 seconds. Right. Individually, Sparks, what did you say?
BMW has got to be. If you're cut up by somebody, it's generally a BMW or. Or a young guy in a Golf who will own a BMW in a few years practicing.
Shit cars as well. And when I was younger, it was Novas. Everyone drove a Nova.
Would people want to drive a Nova?
It's got a Clio's now, isn't it?
Engine.
It's a...
Clio's it isn't. You're quite right.
Cliosport.net. Yeah. I saw plastic
Clio's
on the side.
Clio's are cool
of...
to drive.
No. For kids.
For kids?
Yeah.
Clio's are cool.
If you're 17 years old, you can have a Clio, you can have lights underneath it.
My dad's got a freaking Clio, for God's sake.
If you're doing that, you have a Citroen Saxo.
Right.
But honestly, they put fucking big racks of lights on the front.
It's just occurred to me that we haven't got any clue about what's cool, clearly, have we?
Some of the Saxos are quite quick, and they actually still look like shopping trolleys, whereas Renault, when their one's quite quick, has got a fucking engine where the back seat should
be. Is that a street map, Jono?
Yeah.
Oh, right. So open street map. I mean, it seems like an interesting project.
I raised a few points with them. First being, I couldn't actually get through to the Subversion server because it wasn't actually connected to the net at the time.
Can cause problems.
So I pointed that out. I got that sorted out. I asked how to add data. I was told to use the driver applet. I said, I don't want to use the driver applet. For fuck's sake, how do I add data to the database? And they sorted that out and I got a little document written up about the
so they're
data.
Fairly open to suggestions, then.
Yeah, apart from the fact, my next point was, how do we add points of interest to the database, which is surely the whole fucking
point. Oh, God,
point.
Yeah. That's the whole point of it.
Thinking, not having a GPS, I can't go out and map the fucking street, but points of interest have got postcodes. Postcodes have got coordinates.
We could work as a team, Sparks. I could go out and drive around, and you could the points of interest.
And I could spider the points of interest off the internet.
Fancy that.
But the points of interest that doesn't actually exist in a database or anything like that at the moment.
How useful.
There is a form of data. Somebody else pointed out this on a mail list. There is somebody's come up with a thing about how to store GPS data in an SQL database, but they're not using that because it's got too many things. Actually, the whole point is you want lots of features.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thing that we need more than anything else is a vector map of all the streets. It would be dead nice if that vector map, once it was finished, had all the points of interest on
it. But if you want to plug it in and say, where's the nearest hospital?
No.
It sounds like someone just needs to get momentum, to be
honest. I mean, that's a use case for sat-nav, but it's not what everyone fucking uses it for. Everyone uses it because they want to punch in a postcode and have it direct them to their fucking mate's house.
Yeah, completely.
You know, I mean, that's what everyone wants it for, and for that you need all the streets.
Yep.
And every guy you've got who's mapping points of interest is not mapping streets.
But you can map points of interest without a GPS.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can understand the point. I can understand the
and
point.
And it's also really easy to do. So you could have a skeleton of the UK, and all you need to do is fill in.
Or a skeleton.
Yeah, but it's a useless skeleton. Is the problem with it?
All you need to do is map in the A roads, and then you know these things follow streets. These things all exist on streets. You don't have.
So the guys that are involved in this at the minute, they've just mapped their own area and then that's it. They
it
haven't thought... Like
there's one guy
who's... Cambridge, bit of Hamburg.
There's one guy who's basically... He goes around on his bike with his GPS. Yeah. And there's a trace. If you go to the website, you can see, like, the Java applet where there's the route.
Yeah.
Which you obviously install Java first.
Yeah, which I didn't do.
Yeah, same here.
I went to the website... It said, you need Java for this applet. I went, fuck that noise, and then went back.
Yeah, I actually installed Java, came back about 2 days later.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think it's got some potential, but until they've got a means where it's easy to add street information.
Is it not, then?
And there is no way to add street information. Certainly not from the website. And they need to add it in a way, I mean, are they going to moderate it? Because am I going to, you know, add penis street? You know, I mean, are they going to do this?
Is it Gornal?
And then there is actually. And then how do you know?
The people.
Do you these people at all?
Don't shadow that memory. And then you've got to determine whether.
We've got the drum kit. We can actually make the pigeon noises.
Shall I turn it on?
No.
I'll just get the.
No.
Pass me that, Abe.
No.
Abe, pass me that. Nice one. Thanks, Abe.
Oh, fuck off.
Okay, you ready?
And now, a musical interlude. John has got an old knackered squeeze box.
Didn't realise your ass made that noise.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the final point about OpenStreetMap is that how do they know when roads are legitimate and aren't legitimate? My brother lives near a road called Butthole Avenue, and that actually exists. Now, a lot of people would
you
think
go
that, that
butthole
was
or down butthole to get into.
I live at the bottom of Butthole Avenue. So yeah, I mean, how would you know whether that's legit or not?
To be honest with you,
look at a map.
And until you've got. You know, until you've got loads and loads and loads of data in there, don't give a shit about whether people are filling in real names for the streets.
Does he have a problem ordering stuff?
Eh?
Does he have a problem ordering stuff when they ask him where he lives?
It can be a problem.
At the bottom of Butthole Street.
If you're trying to order butt plugs or
if you order a pizza and someone says, where do you live? You'd never get a pizza, would you?
It's a 2 mile radius, really. That'd no Butthole Street, wouldn't that be a local joke?
Oh,
be the bottom of everybody's...
So you mentioned butts, and obviously we're going to...
Yeah.
Part of the problem with him, you know, ordering stuff is that he lives in Fuckface Cottage.
You never get any mail if you live in Fuckface Cottage. Especially if you live in Fuckface Cottage, so post his come and get fucking arse bit by my dog avenue.
So do you think it is one of these things that's just going to get more momentum as more people get involved?
I think it's like anything, you know, I mean... you know, years ago, people were saying, oh, this open source nonsense is never going to take off. And it has, because people...
Maybe more people just need to hear about it.
But I think when more people... I don't think it will be as complete as a full map. I think it will be essentially, you know, you might have most of Wolverhampton, for example, covered if you've got some people in Wolverhampton who want to help. And you might have areas like weird little villages in Devon won't get mapped because there won't be people there to map them, you know.
People in Devon don't have the interweb.
That's it, yeah.
What I'd like to see is a project like this just start off quietly, But they don't. They all pimp it like, we're going to be really, really brilliant. You say, no, go away. When you've got 30% of the UK mapped, then come back and say, look, we've made a really serious commitment to this. We've got a lot of data. Now we need your help. Not say we've got 0% of the fucking UK mapped.
To be fair to them, they haven't pimped it at all. The only reason why, I stumbled across it on the internet, and I pimped it on my blog.
No, but the website is all like, we are going to be the premier map of the UK. And
no, they're not.
They are?
No, they're not. They don't say we're going to be the. They just say we're going to work to create free mapping data.
So I take it. What I was looking at. Then.
You were probably looking at multi-map.
So I take it all this information is free in America. That they've got free maps in America.
Sort of. The US Geographical Service did a thing called the Tiger Survey, and they got the Tiger maps. They're not particularly detailed, and they're quite out of date.
We've got the same sort of thing.
But they gave them away
in the public domain. It's called the Tide Maps. 800 years old, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. The major problem here is that Ordnance Survey are the world's premier mapping organisation, and they've got that way by spending 400 years having guys walk up and down streets, and they're not just going to give the data away.
That's the thing.
This might actually seem like one of the shortest shows we've done in a long while, but it feels like one of the longest. And this is the beginning of the end of the show.
It's the beginning of the end of the show.
Dick and Dom have come back on now. Fantastic.
You didn't realise no one's got a fucking clue what we're going on
We
about.
Went off, and then they went off, and we come back on. As they've come back on?
Dick and Dom quality.
We are Dick and or Dom.
Did you see the outtakes? And one of these outtakes showing that were on there. Oh, it's hilarious. They are just the
Dick
outtakes.
And Dom in the bungalow.
Yeah. In the bungalow.
Is that a euphemism?
Have you actually watched it?
No.
It's you should.
Hilarious.
It's, I watched it. It's Tiz Wars, but
funnier.
Cool.
With Scunthorpe on t-shirts and things.
I tell you,
Morning Wood.
It's kind of
Morning Wood. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Trouble at Morning.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of Larry Tiz.
Dominique Wood works in the morning.
Yeah, I went downstairs one day and I was having a...
That's not a euphemism, is it?
No.
Right.
I was having a cup of tea in the afternoon.
No, that's a euphemism.
In between the enormous amount of work that I do for a living, obviously. And I was sat downstairs
and the enormous amount of sleep you do.
Children's TV was on and I was watching some crappy cartoon.
El Nombre.
Actually, it was...
what else were you doing while it was on, John?
I was having a cup of tea.
Oh, okay.
And this programme came on, and it was Basil Brush.
Now, he's so camp.
This new series of Basil Brush.
The new Basil Brush is so camp.
No. There was a new Basil Brush that was okay.
The first series of the new.
They replaced the black girl with this girl with some kind of weird, supposedly American accent. A bit like Trillian had in the Hitchhiker's TV series. It's shit.
This was in the first
black
series.
Girl?
In the new series of Basil Brush.
No, Mr. Roy!
No. It's Mr. Stephen now, who is a young guy.
Seriously.
Other young people.
And incidentally, right, they're Opal Fruits.
Yeah, they are, yeah. And Spangles.
Talking to Hitchhiker's Guide, go over to the BBC website, because
that's
really good.
Bastards.
Talking over each other again. Talking to... All right, you shut up. What did you say, Aid?
I said, talking to Hitchhiker's Guide, get over to the BBC website.
Oh, what did you say, Aid? Sparks.
She's wider than me. That's the clue.
Stop making Texan bars. They were fucking gorgeous.
Texan bars?
Yeah.
What are they?
God, I'm hungry.
They were like...
It feels like we've been recording for hours.
How long is this show?
I know. It feels like two episodes.
So is there a difference between a Star Bar and a Boost? Is there a difference?
Star Bar is kind of like a more American Boost.
Right.
That was a complete guess. Harking back to Basil Brush, the thing that made me laugh about it was that he did... They had this little have these little songs in there. And they did Another One Bites the Dust. And Basil Brush dressed up as Freddie Mercury, and I've never laughed as much as I did. Oh. That episode, it was stuff. If anyone knows of a place on the internet where I can legally download it, send me a link if you can't, legal download. then just send me
make
a link.
It
to
okay
it.
If you whisper it.
Apparently.
Okay. Legally.
Allegedly.
It really does.
Yeah. Go on. Anything else illegal you want to whisper to our listeners, Jono?
I sell crack to all.
The old ladies have got a crack of the
You do, something entirely nice, different to old ladies, young man.
Oh, for Jesus Christ. I didn't stick my finger up.
You
there.
Did stick no, your finger up to an old lady.
Busy pimping old ladies. Actually, if you think about it, pimps were crack dealers before crack was invented.
Yeah.
Right, that's enlightening. You know, it's fact of the day from the Lug Radio like, Massive. Once again, the Lug Radio Massive speak.
Profession. They call it the oldest profession. It was the second oldest profession. It was either hunter, farmer, or pimp. Which do you think it would have been? It's got to have been one of those three.
It can't have been pimp. Yep. You didn't have any white wall tire Cadillacs back then. Guys with a really, really massive hat.
Right.
Starsky and Hutch. What a brilliant film that made.
It was crap, wasn't it? Anyway,
it was entertaining. It was entertaining.
The Lug Radio comment.
I feel like we're dragging on a bit now. So let's let these good people get back to work, because they should all be working, not listen to this on their headphones at work.
Guys, you've seriously got to let me go, man. It's not it's illegal what you're doing, keeping me here.
Should we let him go home this week?
No. Yeah, we can do. Although he might be back if Matt's still on his
job,
room.
Man.
No, you have a shit job.
Windows
anyway.
Monkey anyway, it doesn't matter.
Windows monkey. Data backup boy. Right.
They bought a tape changer, they don't need you anymore. Windows tape changer and one of those little birds with the alcohol in the bottom that pecks.
Whatever. It's just a step up from a burger monkey, isn't it? You know, like, oh my god, I'm confused. You wanted a McChicken McBurger, and you've changed your mind. Oh no, I'm going to need the key. Manager, come over, bring the magic key.
Dude, it's the new McDonald's now. You get salad and women.
You had to stop.
Salad and women. Yeah, stop honestly, you've not watched the adverts.
Up his head.
You don't get women.
No, have you seen the adverts?
Can I have a McSalad, please?
Good-looking women breasts. Eating them.
And wouldn't there be large McBreads? You have supersized McBreads.
You've been having McTits and
that's a whole new meaning to supersize me, doesn't it?
Right. See you later, people. Show at lugradio.org. We have not got that pathetic boy Rivel saying it. And that's, remember the paintball as well. You know. God, that was in my memory.
How long ago was that?
God, that was in my memory.
Hasn't that even died over the last 2 weeks?
John O. Schwarzenegger in Total Recall. Was in my memory.
I don't remember many people be getting in touch with you over the
since
last 2 weeks.
Since the last episode. I know, since the last episode, no one's got in touch. It's as if we only recorded it about an hour ago.
It's terrible.
God. I wonder if anybody's getting these
subtle...
I think they might get it now.
Quadruple entendres. Right, see you later, folks.
Bye.